Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better
and better.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Welcome to it. Great to have you. Welcome to the Monday edition of Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Busy show, loaded show, excited for it. We'll get caught up with Mr. Blackshirt NFLer. And Husker standout Jay Moore is with us. Bird's got a busy week, shaking hands and seeing people at the Adidas booth at the College World Series this week. But Bird going to be with us in about 15 minutes. Jay Moore, I call him Bird. I know that rubs some of you wrong, but come on now.
Jay Bird.
Jay Bird. So Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. In 15 minutes, Jay was able to get a really good look and view and evaluate a lot of the talent that was on hand for Friday Night Lights and see how Big Red Weekend went. We'll get Jay's take on that in hour two. Mr. Blackshirt Mondays with Charlie. Coach Charlie McBride will be with us. We'll talk to Coach. And I want to dive in a little bit to the in-state evaluation of players and in comparison to out-of-state talent of players and that fine line you got to walk as a recruiter, as a coach, and what Nebraska is doing. The news of the weekend, Joshua Moore, just extremely gifted wide receiver from Yoakum, saying yes to Nebraska, did so via social media at 3 o'clock. His head coach, Bo Robinson of Yoakum. Yoakum High School is going to join us at 5:25 on Hail Varsity Radio. Excited to talk with Coach Bo Robinson, get his take on Joshua, get his take on Jordan, and just kind of the climate and culture not only of Yoakum football, but just a little bit of background on the Moore family. Just because reading some stories this weekend, checking out kind of the reaction on HailVarsity.com. Listen, you have a lot of variables when it comes into a recruitment like Joshua Moore. And what when push comes to shove, I think you've got a skill set of two kids, Joshua and Jordan, that are top percentile. And with that, not to broad brush, but with that, typically, you've got some attitude. You just do. And we were all that way. We knew it all when we were younger. I don't think, and I've not spent time at their dinner table, but just the vibe I get is you've got some pretty well-grounded, respectful, humble, hardworking, super athletes. And in this instance, Nebraska, a super wide receiver, is headed to Lincoln.
And look, 53 scholarship offers, the most of any prospect in the 2018 class. That can go to a kid's head for sure, and it doesn't seem like it's gone to Joshua's.
No. I mean, that's kind of the vibe. And you, a lot of you saw the video, his announcement video. We'll get him on this week, Joshua Moore. But it'll be interesting to see about the video. I mean, he doesn't seem like the video type. But everybody's doing a video now, so I got to follow suit. You can join us, can tap the line to Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. So those are numbers to get in. Can join us on social media at @Schmidt_radio, at Hail Varsity, at @TJ_Henning. And as a Nebraska fan, your feeling is what? Just rejoice right now that you got another top 100 recruit? Is it, a little cautious optimism because, you know, December 20th isn't here yet and signing day is the finish line? And here's my quick reaction, okay? I look at this and I am shocked I am blown away. I am surprised that Nebraska got this done. And that's not an indictment on the coach, on the position coach. It just, let's be real about the odds and how far the deck was stacked against Nebraska to get a player of this level. Let's just be real. Texas A&M's down the road. The kid lives, according to McEwen's story, between San Antonio and Houston, which is kind of that Aggie triangle, on a ranch. Texas or Texas A&M or TCU or Baylor, or if you want to get funky, Houston, SMU, they're all better. And for a brief period, Baylor and TCU have been elite. Top 10, top 5, good, okay? Texas, the state, produces a lot of Josh Moores. But they don't leave. They may go to Oklahoma. That's it. They don't leave the state of Texas, ever. And for decades, you've had that state on lockdown, either by Stoops, by Switzer, by Mac Brown, by Briles. And if a kid does get out of the state of Texas, and then too many get out of the state of Texas, and think of your quarterbacks back in 2009 or 2010. And I'm thinking Andrew Luck, Johnny Football, RG3. Well, two of those three didn't get out of the state of Texas, but they didn't get to Austin. The other went to Stanford. You lose political capital and the ability to win on the field if you don't take care of your business at home in the state of Texas. How did Nebraska get this done? Keith Williams is a guy that is sincere. He's real. He can connect. He can communicate. And he is, has been, and will continue to recruit Joshua Moore every day. He wants to make him better. He wants to get him better. He wants to get him to the league. He wants to win some football games here in Lincoln, obviously. But he knows what to say and be sincere, Keith Williams does, with what he says to a family and a tremendous prospect in Joshua Moore. Think about what this kid has. Like 6'1", 6'1 and a half. But from a length standpoint, he's really lanky. And you look at some of the IMG combine times. Bookie's 40 at 4'3 something. And Joshua Moore's 40, just like right barely below Bookie's. Also in the 4'3 range. So you've got a guy that can get deep, stress a defense, make plays. And in researching about this prospect, because that's what I did. I had baseball this weekend, and I knew this announcement was coming. So when Junior wasn't in the field or up the bat, I was on my phone at a ball game researching. Dude has a 41-inch vertical jump. So think Mo Purify with a 4'3 and the end zone fade. And think about what Nebraska's been lacking at wide receiver. A true, true, true deep threat. Guy that can just take the top off. That's what you got. But politically, this is a just monster, monster win, because Nebraska goes in to the state of Texas, takes the state of Texas's best skill guy, and says, "You're coming with us." And then they beat, by the way, 52 other just major, monster college football programs. They beat Florida State. They beat A&M. Again, this is the battle, not the war. This is not the finish line.
Yeah.
But just kind of grasp what Nebraska just did this weekend. And I know I'm fawning over a 17-year-old here, but it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. It's kind of like Nebraska pulling a kid named Sue out of Pac-12 country to get him here. I'm not saying Moore will have the same impact as Sue, but I'm saying it just doesn't happen. Doesn't happen when you get a guy that's that highly talented, highly recruited, extremely skilled. You don't pull them out of their region. And it also says another thing, that it's not just lip service about what offense you're going to see, but there's some belief to it. with the quarterbacks that are on campus here, the belief right now that Nebraska will be able to throw the football around and put some just monster points up and really do what they want offensively throwing the ball. When you get skill guys like this and you have a stockpile of quarterbacks that you do down on campus. I mean, it says a ton, but nationally we're talking Luganville, okay, the Rivals dude.
Tom, yep.
You're talking Bruce Feldman, who's like a college football analyst and author. I mean, they're all going, whoa, how the hell did Nebraska go down to Texas and win this one? That's incredible. And maybe you should start expecting it more, but don't discount how difficult and how important it is for Nebraska, because now you got a stud. It's coming here. Mm-hmm. You can help your offense in the passing game infinitely with it when you look at all the pieces in this passing attack you want. And then the rest of the high-profile prospects and top 100 talent guys. Oh, what's that? Oh, yeah, it's Nebraska getting another major player. It says a lot. And by the way, Ohio State also just landed two top 50 guys this weekend. Yeah, keep up with them, because that's who you're chasing. That's who you got to beat. And you do it with athletes and talent, the skill set that need to translate on the field, but the initial skill set that a Joshua Moore has.
So I agree. It is very impressive to get this
and
guy.
You're not Mr. Recruiting
Texas.
Honk guy either, though.
No, I'm not. But I will disagree with you a little bit about because of the timing. Because Texas just got Tom Herman, and they haven't been even close to what they've been to be. A&M, someone's on the hot seat. Baylor's
so why,
a mess.
So why not
Baylor's
leave?
A mess. Yeah. Texas Tech, Kingsbury, he hasn't got that thing rolling yet. Houston lost Herman, so you're wondering what they're going to be. So maybe TCU would be the school to go to in Texas right now. So I feel like if the state of Texas, if there's a time to get a guy like this, it would be now, in my opinion.
Okay, no, that's totally fair. That's
But credit for them for getting
that's absolutely fair. That, okay, there's a lot of things going wrong, or there's some uncertainty right now in Texas. And I think you're 1,000% right. I think the nuclear destruct button that the Texas A&M athletic director showed Paul Feinbaum 2 weeks ago it's got to be a bit frightening. I think that a guy like Stoops leaving got to be a bit frightening, because there's, you know, who's to say OU couldn't have come down to Yoakum and said, let's throw the football to you, son, because they've had some pretty good wideouts. Texas, listen, I think there's enough. There's enough in the cupboard, and then there's enough of what Herman is. Because the guy won quickly and at a high level, and he beat some monsters at Houston. He's going to win. It's not yes or no, will Tom Herman win at Texas? It's how soon will he win? How soon will he win a national championship? I mean, I think that's... That's a major certainty I have. I think Texas will be in the playoff here in the next 3 to 5 years. Herman will be raiding the state of Texas. Most of the high schools in Texas run what Herman runs in some sort of spread. He'll kill it. He'll get who he wants, and they'll be dominant. Because he comes from that Urban Meyer kind of regime culture.
I'm with you on Herman.
Okay. A&M will find another coach in a year or two. I think someone could be out. TCU's good, but they're just, and they're fun and they're wide open. That could have been an option. Baylor, I think they have a pretty good character coach coming in. Mm-hmm. I think from a sexiness standpoint of an offense and what they had rolling with the right quarterbacks, because Art Briles, like, bad dude. The guy did have quarterbacks stacked upon one on top of each other to plug and play. So even though it's bleak and it's down, there's no saying it couldn't have worked. And from a convenience standpoint, just let's stay closer to home. So your point's well made that now's the time to get out of Texas because things are down. I say that Texas is just about ready to have a rebirth.
Oh, for sure.
I think TCU's going to be a 9 or 10 win team. Baylor and A&M could be the mess. But don't forget, Florida State's also knocking on this kid's door. Mm-hmm. And they are proven they could win a championship this year. They have no issue getting a stud quarterback to you. They have one there, and they'll throw him in at a reasonable amount of time, and he'll find playmaking wideouts or a NFL-ready running back. So this is a major, major, major get for Nebraska, which is obvious, but I'm just – they got him. They got to keep him.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see if worry about that when December gets closer. But huge weekend for Nebraska. Some thoughts coming up from Jay Moore on the Friday Night Lights weekend, as well as some of the kids in-state that wowed and surprised and did well. So that is coming up shortly. Don't forget, get Bo Robinson, head coach at Yoakum High School. Joshua Moore's head coach coming up in 1 hour. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie also at 5 o'clock. I want to remind you about the Nebraska Department of Roads Highway Safety Office. They're telling you this, 7 out of 10 too many. That's the portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed on Nebraska roads last year. If they'd all been using their seatbelt at a minimum 69, they'd be alive today. Save more lives, and law enforcement will help do so. They'll be writing tickets for seatbelt and child restraint violations. So please click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Coming up, Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore next on Hail Varsity Radio.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, at JMoore44, and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Great to be back with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore at JMoore44 on Twitter. And a tremendous write-up, kind of recapping Friday Night Lights, Big Red Weekend, Mr. Blackshirt Jay on HailVarsity.com. Jaybird, what do you know? How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. It was a fun to take in that Friday Night Lights extravaganza just a few days ago, and all is well, weather's good, and looking forward to another Friday Night Lights this coming Friday.
And you know, usually I say you're air quote working. You know, you've been working at up at Baseball Village. That's where you're coming from, right? How's that going?
Yeah, it's good. It's company I work for, Ideal Images. They always have. In the locker room, they always have a nice booth up there, but this year they partnered up with Adidas Baseball, so we have this really sweet, you know, almost like a brick-and-mortar store where it's, you know, Adidas logo brand. You can go in there and hit baseball soft toss with all these new Adidas bats and a bunch of cool Adidas stuff. So just leaving there as I speak, heading back south to Lincoln to go pick up the little one from daycare when I get back in town, and there'll be daddy daycare this evening, but ready to chop it up with you boys on the radio.
No, absolutely. I got to ask for, I know a 10-year-old who was 0 for 15 this weekend. You said you have soft toss up there at the Adidas Baseball Village?
Yeah. Send him on up. we'll put him to work.
Okay.
He needs 100 cut minimum. That's what he needs.
Yeah, I need 100 shot minimum to sit through another weekend like that. Moving on. All right. So who wowed you on Friday night, Jay?
You know, I really like the Marcus Hicks, the DN, I believe out of the Missouri area. Mm-hmm. The exact location kind of escaped
me right
now.
He's a Wichita kid. Yeah, the Wichita kid.
Okay, Kansas. He's getting close enough, I guess. He was really impressive. I tell you what, for a kid that's only going to be a junior, you know, he's a 2019 prospect. This really showed whoever his coach is, or whoever, you know, if his dad played ball, I'm not for sure, or if he's working with someone else on the side, but the kid showed a lot of great technique and handwork and hip movement for a very young prospect. I mean, he was just a sophomore this last year, but his ability to work his hands, flip his hips in the pass rush was really impressive. So, obviously, being a former D lineman myself, he sticks out number one to me, just because he's only going to be a junior, and he has, you know, he's long and lean. He has room to grow. He could definitely be an outside linebacker, depending on really how much he grows. Really has a good get off and a burst off the line of scrimmage. So, or you know, if he continues to grow and gets longer, you know, he could have the ability to pack on a bunch of weight. You could see him play a defensive end in a 3-4 scheme that Nebraska's now running.
All right, Jay, how about another D-line guy, a guy who's already committed to Nebraska in the 2018 class, Mazrey Maipiu? How's his progression coming along?
You know, he looks good. He's blowing up here recently, but that should be. I mean, he's a very good-looking prospect, good-looking kid. He gets a little out of control when he gets to going really fast and running, but like I said in the write-up, you know, this kid's going to be a one technique, a zero technique. He's playing over the center. He's going to be eating up blockers. He's going to be responsible for keeping linemen off the linebackers, and you know, he's just plugging gaps. He's not going to be one of those guys that's going to be a three down lineman. He's first and second down. Get him off the field. Let him go get on the oxygen tank and chill out for a little bit. Then you send him back out there. You know, he's going to come off the field on third down. So he gets a little out of control when he gets going a little quick, but that's okay. You know, he's going to be a space eater. He's going to be a guy that's going to play physical at the point of attack and really eat up some blockers to make sure those guys behind him can go ahead and do their job.
Few minutes, Jay Moore is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jay was at Friday Night Lights and had a chance to check out Big Red Weekend at Jay Moore 44. And be sure to catch Jay's story on hailvarsity.com. Six standouts that he saw on Friday. Jay, we'll get your take on Joshua Moore's commitment here in a little bit. Wanted to get your thoughts, though, on Garrett Nelson out of Scott's Bluff. Diaco was impressed and offered him, another in-state kid, Mazury, an offer last season. And then, of course, Juergens 2 years ago. Nebraska pretty selective about Nebraska offers. That said, Nelson has seemed to impress many down at the stadium.
Yeah, I wish I was able to see him more. We, you know, you're down there, and I wasn't able to get my hands on a roster until later in the evening.
Sure.
So once I got home, I realized that they had extended an offer to him. So, but just seeing some pictures of him, and the kid looks very, very put together. Looks like he doesn't miss too many workouts in the weight room, so that's a good thing. And just kind of being from Scott's Bluff, I tell you what, they raise a lot of tough kids out there. It's a hardworking culture, so you'll always take that, a kid that looks good in a shirt and has a really good work ethic. I tell you what, you can do a lot of good things with that. I imagine I haven't seen any film on him. I imagine he's somewhat raw, being really young yet still. He's only going to be a junior, but that's okay. He has a couple more years to progress and really grow into that body, learn some more techniques. And then become, you know, what he is. You know, might be a redshirt type of candidate, but who knows? You know, he'll probably, looking at him playing that DN in the 3-4 spot, I think he'll be able to add that size very easily and kind of play that anchor position at one of those DN spots. And I think once, all the coaches get a hold of them on the defensive side, Diaco and all those guys, he'll turn into a heck of a ball player, especially with that really good work ethic.
How about linebacker Anthony Banderas? Did you see a lot of similarities to his brother Josh?
Yeah, they look very similar. Not as big, a little shorter. He's very well put together. I mean, he's another good-looking kid. It's just he's going to be a senior, and I think he's more of a preferred walk-on prospect at this time. Maybe he'll get a late offer. In late January, early February, when that signing date comes around, but it's hard to project him at this moment. But he looks good. He looks like he's been coached very, very well at Lincoln Southwest. Obviously, his dad and his brother have all played big time football, so he's been around it. So the kid has really good football IQ. It's just the size is he's just not. He's a couple inches shorter than Josh, so that's going to hurt him a little bit. But I would foresee him wearing a Husker uniform in the future. It's just whether or not he's on scholarship or he has to pay for his own way.
Jay, wanted to kind of wrap with some of the kids you liked and you write up on HaleVarsity.com. Ryan Schomer out of Norfolk. He's another defensive end. And you had to be smiling, man, because there was about a million defensive ends working out down Friday night at Memorial Stadium. But Schomer, a Norfolk kid, what'd you think of him? Good frame, good size, 6'3", 230.
Yeah, he's a good-looking kid. I know he has quite a few interests from smaller programs, but that's okay. I mean, he is a very good-looking prospect. Has long levers. Again, he's a kid that you can tell has been putting some work in the weight room. And showed some nice shiftiness and moves in one-on-one drills. And again, I know they're not any pads or anything, but it's almost harder when you don't have pads. So you have to kind of use a little more hip, use more hand work, show a little bit more finesse, and he was able to do that. And again, being a guy that had to learn these kind of those moves, it's not easy. And so I know he's being coached very well up at Norfolk. And again, we'll see how if an offer can shake out for him. I don't foresee it. Again, he might be a preferred walk-on, but again, it's just a really good kid. You know, if he decides to not look at that South Dakota State, North Dakota State, or Wyoming, or whoever it may be, one of those type of offers. I know he could definitely see the field, in his second or third year type of deal as a preferred walk on Nebraska. Just a good looking kid. There's a lot of really, really good looking local talent there. And the cool thing about the Friday Night Lights is that there's the North Dakotas, there's the South Dakota States there. So not only are these kids able to get seen by the Nebraska staff, but have the opportunity to be in front of a lot of other really good college football programs and have an opportunity to, get some of their school paid for one way or the other and take some of the burden off of mom and dad and still be able to play football for 4 or 5 years. So, and all around, it was a really good showing for the state of Nebraska last Friday night.
Bird, a couple minutes left. Daniel Carlson, the defensive end out of Missouri. I mean, the world wants him. Did you have a chance to get a look at him? And two, the stud wide receiver out of Yoakum, Texas, Joshua Moore. You've heard and seen a lot about him this weekend. A reaction to both of those guys, first Carson and then Moore.
Yeah, I saw him walking around a little bit. I wasn't for sure who he was, but you knew he was a big time talent just because of the attention that he was getting from Coach Riley and the rest of the staff. Just a good looking kid, man. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, just walk around in t-shirt, sweatpants. He's again a kid with very long arms. He's put together very well. And would love to, he's just part of that really good Missouri talent. So you'd love to have him. And then the Joshua Moore commit was big. And I've seen enough of his film and some of his stuff that he's put together that this guy is a potential day one contributor once he steps foot on that campus. And he's only going to get better. He's only going to thicken out a little more. Reminds me a lot of AJ Green. Of the Bengals.
Wow.
That type of player. Just that the body size, that's kind of how he's built. That's how he's put together. Could potentially be that type of talent that, AJ was when he was at Georgia, and obviously being a first round talent to the Bengals. So a really, really good get. So we're gonna have the stables of wide receivers is building and getting better. We just got to build the offensive line around that quarterback so he has time to get the rock to those cats.
Jay Moore with us, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, and his thoughts on Friday Night Lights. And, of course, he was part of that this weekend. You can read his work, HaleVarsity.com. Bird, we'll catch up with you this week. Thanks so much for a few minutes, and we'll touch base soon.
All right, you got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jay.
Well, Mr. Bird, on his way back from the Baseball Village, the Adidas shop, with the locker room, and be on hand at Friday Night Lights again this weekend for Hail Varsity. Awesome stuff. Good insight from Jay Moore. More thoughts on some recruiting. Charlie McBride, 20 minutes away. And Bo Robinson, head coach at Yoakum High School, next.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks for Jay Moore. Check it in, step it in his coverage of Friday Night Light. Friday Night Lights this past week and this week with HailVarsity.com, TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, and you. Blackshirt Charlie coming up, Mondays with Charlie, Coach McBride in 25 minutes. And I said Bo Robinson next hour. The shot clock was expiring, ball was still in my hand. Hope everyone had a great Father's Day yesterday. Spent it at the baseball fields watching my Pride and Joy reenact his father's success in baseball. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. I've talked to you quite a bit about pure-grown diamonds, and I think they're gorgeous. I can vouch for Mama Schmidt. She loves them. They're 10 to 40% less than earth-mined diamonds, and they are extremely beautiful, sustainable, and eco-friendly. On top of that, they're some of the biggest and best sellers at Sauter Heyman. Sauter Heyman's been around forever. When I say forever, that's over a century. And Pure Grown Diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer right here in Nebraska with Sauter Heyman. 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln. So if you're making your way down to check things out at the stadium on Friday, maybe you swing by and see Rick first. Maybe you see him Saturday. If you're out west in Grand Island, just there this weekend, a Sauter Heyman location in Grand Island. Log on, SauterHeyman.com. Do you see the Athlon list, TJ?
I have not.
Okay, Athlon, I remember this magazine, Athlon Sports. And it's covered football. And I think Babbers used to do some work for him, too, back in the day. And listen, they have 50 years, and they're doing the 50 top college football players the past 50 years, the Athlon era. So they have a first-team all-Athlon in the 50 years. Do you have a guess as to how many Huskers made the top 50?
Four?
Yes. Are you cheating?
No.
Okay.
That's a good guess by me.
They're number tied for number two with the most representatives on this top 50 list.
Okay. So I'm thinking the three Heisman winners?
Rozier wasn't on here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Frazier?
Yes.
Remington?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So plus the other two Heisman guys?
No.
Did I get it? No.
You have one Heisman guy.
Oh, just one. Okay. Crouch?
No.
Okay. Frazier, Remington, Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
Is it obvious? Wistrom?
It's a good call, but he didn't. No. It's very obvious.
Oh, man. It's obvious. I'm going to get it wrong.
You want to go lift weights? You can do so in his
seat. See, I was trying to go back further.
You're grounded.
That guy was pretty good.
Yeah?
All right. I like those. Where's Tebow at?
Tebow comes in.
As you give me an eye roll.
No, listen. I give you an eye roll because Tebow is the all-Athlon, all-half-century team quarterback over Frazier. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was
what?
Almost a three-time national champion.
He won it once on his own. He was a red zone specialist.
Well, he won it twice.
As a redshirt freshman. Okay. Chris Leak was the quarterback of the 06 team.
Some of it he was, yeah.
Yeah, except when it came to the fake a jump pass. And listen, man, I like Tebow. I think he was a dual threat fullback that could throw the football. His teams were good. Homeboy never went undefeated as the starter, but he was good.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't Tommy Frazier. Okay. Just he wasn't.
Okay.
And for him to oust Frazier, or if we're just going off of college, and I'm not saying Matt Leinart's better than Tommy Frazier, I'm saying you could make an argument for a guy going 37-2 in his career and having a 34-game win streak, you could make an argument for Leinart if you're just...
Yeah, for sure.
Because he won a Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
finished second in the other or third in the other because his teammate Bush won it. Now, I know Tommy didn't win a Heisman. He finished second. And by the way, Eddie George didn't even make the top 50 here. He was left off.
Wow.
So, yeah, this is an interesting list. And there's some names, man, on here. But Matt Leinart comes in at 38. Ricky Williams, 37. And the list I have, and I'll get to the all-athlon team. And this team's pretty good. I mean, your two running backs, Barry Sanders and Herschel Walker, that are just unreal.
Yeah.
Marcus Allen was phenomenal in college. OJ's on the list because he was great before he killed people. But Tebow comes in number six, Bo Jackson five, Earl Campbell four, Archie Griffin three. He was left off of somebody's list. All right. He was left off of the voters' list. And this is kind of the who's who of college football people nationally putting this athlon list together.
Did you say who one and two were?
I was getting there.
Okay.
Barry Sanders and Herschel Walker, also your top backs. Sanders two, Herschel one. So here's your panel, okay? Guys we've talked to or know of. Tony Barnhart, Matt Brown, Sports on Earth. And I'm just kind of paraphrasing. There's some other dudes here that don't know. Chris Dufresne.
Andy.
Bill Conley. Bruce Feldman. Bill King. Okay. Stuart Mandel. Paul Meyerberg. Just to name a few.
Yeah, some hitters there.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good group. We have to get a hold of Babers tomorrow. Get his take on things. But coming in on the list, in at number 19 was Dave Remington.
Okay.
For Nebraska. In at 15 was Sue. And Tommy Frazier came in at 12. So I think that's all right. Let's throw this out there. Vince Young better than Tommy Frazier?
Oh. That's a tough one.
Because, I mean, they were...
VY was so good, man.
Well, let's not inflate him 1,000%. He was great against USC. Okay? He was great against USC. That was a really good team he had at Texas that won the national championship. I think Vince is great. And he gave hope to a lot of dual-threat quarterbacks in the perfect offense with some easy throws. And his size was incredible. I liked Vince a lot. I didn't hate on Vince. But is he a better quarterback than Tommy Frazier? Did he have a better college career than Tommy Frazier?
Probably not.
No. That's what I'm just getting.
What number was VY?
Eight. Did he have a better career than Sue? You know, different positions, different sides of the ball.
Quarterback's easier to be ranked, but yeah.
Yeah. So, look at this, though. Athlonsports.com, their top 50 the last 50 years. We'll tell you the all-time team here in a second. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
10 minutes from now, it's Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie Hale, Varsity Radio. A little bit past 5:20, we'll run down head coach of Yoakum, Texas, Bo Robinson, Joshua Moores, head coach in high school, and also Jordan Moores, head coach in high school. This is from Greg Biggins, national scout and recruiting analyst, FoxSports/Scout.com. Greg Biggins reporting that wideout Eric Fuller, he's committed to Nebraska, well, was committed to Nebraska, no longer committed to Nebraska. Eric Fuller and Nebraska have parted ways per Greg Biggins of Scout.com.
The world of recruiting.
So
you win some, you lose some.
You're at 11, you're down to 10. So... there you are.
That's the way it rolls.
But it looks like there's quite a few just really talented dudes that are going to be on campus Friday and into the weekend.
You got those top two names from the athlon?
I do. You really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Barry Sanders in at number two.
Okay. Can buy that.
Herschel Walker in at one.
Okay.
See, I think this top 10, Tony Dorsett, Deion Sanders, Vince Young, Hugh Green, Tim Tebow, Bo Jackson, Earl Campbell, Archie Griffith, Barry Sanders, Herschel Walker. Now, this is going to sound blasphemous and like I'm just peeing on Ohio State. I'd word that appropriately. I don't think Archie Griffith was that great. Okay, I look at his stats, especially the second year he won the Heisman, and I know he's the only two-time winner. This doesn't do it for me, man.
I'm a young guy. Who's Hugh Green?
Hugh Green. You want to know about Hugh Green?
His name's Hugh, not Hugh?
I say things wrong often.
Just checking.
Like, I go Houston. So it's an, I know it's a sound.
Okay.
It's supposed to be an H.
All right.
Okay.
Who'd this guy play for?
Pitt.
All right.
Okay. And I think he was a Dolphin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, but I think he graduated in 80. But the guy had 53 sacks.
Wow.
And he was a second-team All-American as a freshman. And he was unanimous for 3 years, sophomore, junior, senior season. He had 17 sacks his senior year.
Sheesh.
And Pitt was like a beast then. Okay, it was post-Dorsett, pre-Marino, right when Marino got there. And Jackie Sherrill was the coach before he went to A&M to castrate Bulls. Hugh Green was...
Were they still playing like 10 games at that time?
They were independent, I think. They were playing 11.
Okay.
And then the bowl game. Well, yeah. Yeah, 11 regular and then a bowl game.
Still,
Pitt
17.
Was phenomenal.
Wow.
I mean, it was Pitt. It was Penn State. Pitt was a juggernaut in college football. But Hugh Green, man, was special. We'll talk to Babbers tomorrow about this list.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. Caller 5, caller 6, caller 5, caller 6 right now. Get more info, the inside info with recruiting with HaleVarsity.com. A six-month online subscription for you right now, and you'll want it. For the second rendition of Friday Night Lights, caller 5, caller 6, 466-3776, 466-3776 right now.
Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get big, big.
We get big, big.
Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Hour two, back with you on a Monday. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Heading, and Joshua Moore's high school coach, Bo Robinson, coming up in 30 minutes, a little over. It is that time. It's Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Coach McBride. Charlie McBride with us on Hale Varsity, presented to you by Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find focus and also protect your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also protecting your employees with retirement, dental, vision and hearing plans, and they've kept their promises. Emeritus has for 130 years and counting, giving you peace of mind. Emeritus proud to stand with Husker Athletics, proud to bring you Charlie McBride. Coach, how'd you shoot this weekend? You had to get out and golf, didn't you?
No, I was in, I was telling TG, I just got myself involved in learning how to fix antique furniture.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you have to be patient.
Well, you've always struck me as a patient guy.
Well, you know, I am very patient. I just never let anybody know, you know.
Well, that's your secret. That's fine. So, you know how I fix antique furniture is, well, we just take it out to the curb. So good for you. That's impressive.
Yeah, you ought to see the stuff I did.
Well, before we get into football, what are you doing?
Nobody wants to buy any of it. I know that.
Well, you just got to turn on the old recruiting charm, you know?
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Coach, did you run into Jared Thomas this weekend?
I did. For 3 days, he came over here and worked like a dog. I mean, I never seen anything like it. His wife, he just took over. I ended up babysitting the two kids, my wife and I, and they cleaned up the pool bar, and they lifted everything, and now we're just sitting here looking at each other, trying to figure out, you know, how long it's going to take for our backs to get better. But they were unbelievable. I mean, they probably saved us 3 weeks of work.
Well, that's good. So he was helping you with some stuff, and he's not far from you, apparently, so you just said, all right.
Well, he's just down near Rensselaer, Indiana. They live on a farm. They've got their horses and goats and, you know, and stuff like that, and they're raising some wheat, doing things like that just to get started. This is their second year with it. So
okay.
They're just scrambling, and she has her own business, so it works out good for them.
Well, good. I'm sure that made you happy to see him, and with the with the patience you have, and you show to certain people from time to time. Were you able to kind of direct traffic there, or did you just let him do his thing?
No, I just he brought a big van, like a trailer, and then we gave him a lot of stuff. They do some. They have a barn where they rent furniture out for different, parties or stuff like that. So they're starting to collect a lot of things, and so they took a lot of stuff off our hands that, you know, we were going to basically either have to sell at a garage sale or give to Salvation Army or, you know, whatever. And so it worked out good for both of us. And the food was, Jared's a great cook. Mm. he can cook. So that's what he did. He even brought some food and some steaks, and we laughed and giggled and had a good time.
That is awesome to hear. Charlie McBride with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, I wanted to get your thoughts. And this last weekend, Nebraska had their first of three renditions of Friday Night Lights and then Big Red Weekend. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska was able to extend an offer in-state to a player out of Scott's Bluff. And I look at kind of that fine line you got to walk, and I wanted your thoughts on it. The in-state talent and versus the out-of-state talent, and that fine line in recruiting, when to offer an in-state kid and when to go after a kid from a more populated area. How difficult, how nerve-wracking was that from a recruiting standpoint to you?
Well, most of the kids that we recruited in the state knew right away. And Coach Osborne was really straight with them and told them that, you know, that some of them weren't going to get scholarships, some of them were. And but the ones that, a lot of them that were not given scholarships that ended up walking on, number one is because this is where they wanted to go to school. And they wanted to stay in the area. And it wasn't like they turned around and cried about it, because the way the program was won, and then you wouldn't know a scholarship guy from a walk-on guy. There was never anything said, well, walk-ons go over here and scholarship guys go over here. They all felt they're all one, and I don't think half of them knew who was on scholarship and who wasn't. So it worked out pretty good over the years. I never heard any disdain of anything, any kind, you know, about it. And I think at the time, and probably maybe the same, that they played to, they could eat on training table if they paid a couple of $100 more a semester, I think it was. And, you know, so it, you know, they were on training table, and, you know, it worked out really, really well. But we gave our kids pretty much new. We offered some kids in our summer camp like this, you know, that's happening now. And I go back and I look at kids like Danny Noonan. I think he was one that I can remember was offered in camp. And I think Grant Wist, you know, there was Grant Wistrom was. And but there were some guys in state and out of state that were, you know, we had. At first, when I went there, there were mostly all Nebraska kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were a few of them from. But then it got to where there were kids from, you know, all over the country started coming in. You know, it gave us a chance to probably not look at them as close as they're getting to now with all these camps and whatever they are and mm-hmm. stuff like that, I think. You know, you get a pretty good look at least one day. I don't know if you can make a decision on that day, but they sure... I'm sure they knew a lot more about, you know, guys that who the in-state who they've offered. They just don't throw scholarships around unless they think they can really be part, you know, of the program,
Coach,
in a major way.
Yeah, and that's kind of right on with just how, especially this season, how limited the scholarship numbers are. 15 to 18's the number. Kids that Nebraska can take, and this offer to Garrett Nelson out of Scotts Bluff was for 2019. But it's, you know how it is. It's so sped up now that you're making offers to kids going into their junior year from their sophomore year. Wanted to get your thoughts on Joshua Moore. He's out of Yoakum, Texas. He's a big-time wide receiver, I think 53 offers. His decision came out yesterday, and he picked Nebraska over A&M. And he picked Nebraska over Florida State. Major league wide receiver. I mean, he's got a ton of speed, can catch. And you can speak to this. You don't scoff ever at getting a kid out of Texas. But in today's day and age where I'd argue that most of their Power 5 schools down there, and I know Baylor's a whole world of hurt, but they've been playing good football. But Texas is a tougher place to navigate recruiting, in my opinion, now. What's your takeaway with this? Not necessarily, I don't know if you've seen film on the kid or not, but getting such a high-profile guy out of the state of Texas, what's your reaction?
Well, I think the thing with that is there's something that he feels good about. There, you know, it's not always the coaches talking, you know, into kids into things or stuff like that. Sometimes the player just visits and he feels really comfortable with the place. And I know one of the things I used to do is when a kid would commit or, you know, on campus, which to us was a kind of a commitment until we got with the parents and everything. But I'd always tell them, listen, here's what I want you to do. Walk out that front door and walk around the campus and see how you feel. Because it was usually on, you know, it was usually on a Sunday morning or something. The campus wasn't busy, but, you know, there's something about that, you know, they maybe haven't seen just walk down the middle of campus. They may have been driven around it or things like that. And sometimes those kids came back and, you know, were more impressed. You know, our campus isn't very big. And I think for a lot of players, it wasn't at the time. Now it's getting a little bigger. But at the time, a lot of kids don't want to go to some massive school where you feel like the student body is overwhelming. You know, I know when I was coaching at Wisconsin that it was probably one of the biggest schools in the country. And, you know, it was almost like you were just a number over there and things like that. So you didn't feel as comfortable with the whole student body like you would at Nebraska. So a lot of times, that's what I think happens with a player like that. He just goes to a place and he just feels like, this is it. It's something that just inside of them is the gut feeling that you feel real comfortable. And a lot of times coaches from other schools, once you get that many people talking to you, the lies come out of the woodwork. And things, you know, they'll just throw anything at the kid to distract him or do anything, you know, to keep him uneasy. And that, when you have a strong-willed kid and a parent's or a mother, father, whatever, you know, the thing is at his home, usually it takes all three of you to really nail it down and keep them in line. Because the worst thing you can do is keep, you know, you're getting some decommitments now and you're getting this and that. And, you know, it kind of hurts a little bit the program, but you kind of find out a little bit about the player too. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. And that's, I mean, it's kind of a fluid situation with Nebraska wide receiver wise. Mm-hmm. And they've got a big one that said yes Sunday. They had one that they just lost from L.A. About 45 minutes ago. And the one that just chose to go to Ohio State is going to be here Friday again. So it's it's kind of like the weather. It's changing every 5 minutes here.
What kids see sometimes is when they go to schools like Ohio State, who is always up there and in recruiting and so forth. You see, if you're whatever position you play, you go there, and you kind of if they're really straight with you, they'll tell you who's playing the positions, who's there, what class they're in, and you're kind of looking at, you know, where do I fit in? Am I going to fit in after my freshman year, or am I good enough to play now, or maybe it's going to be a redshirt year and a year after that. So a lot of kids look at that kind of stuff, and then that makes a decision for them. I think a lot of them that do come in and say they want to play as a freshman, usually probably 80%, 90% of them do not play as a regular player, you know, and sometimes when they get to the end of it, they wish they had a redshirted. So, you know, that's the kind of thing. You know, I always laugh at kids about redshirting, that you get a fifth year of school. You don't have to pack it all in. You've got a fifth year. So, you know, it really makes it easier on your academics, too.
Well, that's the thing. Space it out. And some of us loved the summer program. And, yeah, I took my time, Coach.
Yeah, well, when I was being recruited, it was funny compared to the way it's done now.
Yeah.
They used to come into town to a hotel, and we'd go visit them at the hotel.
Yeah.
You know, and so then maybe they'd come to your house later on, but it was not nothing like it is now. You know, and the numbers is a big factor, you know. And when you see 15 kids coming in and here, you see where you see the light where you're going to really have a chance to do something. That makes a difference, too. And if the kid really likes the school, that, of course, that's the reason he's coming anyway. But, you know, it helps.
Charlie McBride with us, Mondays with Charlie, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, enjoy your week, and we'll talk to you next Monday. And thanks for giving us a few minutes today, sir.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you next week. I'll be here, I hope.
No, me too, Coach. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Okay. See ya. Thank you. Okay, bye now.
There he is. I like that, the patience. I just didn't let people know I have patience. He's repairing antique furniture. I like it. They talked to old Tomich. Remember the old Tomich sign on the video board? It's like a giant Pac-Man. It'd come up and it'd eat a quarterback. Tomich was tons of fun to watch, like, decapitate people. The defensive end for Nebraska. It's good stuff. We'll give those away shortly.
Okay.
Greg Smith has tweeted out this. Gregathan Smith, Cameron Brown, and I kind of alluded to it in our talk with Coach McBride. He's visiting on Friday. He'll be part of Friday Night Lights. He'll be in Lincoln. And Greg Smith said it wasn't over. There you have it. Good stuff. Joshua Moore, standout wide receiver, said yes to Nebraska. His coach, Bo Robinson of Yoakum, Texas, next on Hail Varsity.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back with you to Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and the news of the weekend, Joshua Moore committing to Nebraska, his head coach in Yoakum, head coach Bo Robinson with us on Hail Varsity. Coach Robinson, thanks for a few minutes today, sir. How are you?
Good.
Well, it's been a bit of a whirlwind this weekend tracking recruiting. The announcement date was made ahead of time for Joshua, and he made his commitment yesterday. And I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on him, the kid, the family, the player. You spent a ton of time with him. You've coached him, and kind of give Nebraska fans a painting of the type of player and character that Joshua has.
Well, first, let's just talk about the kid. He comes from a good family. You know, he's got parents who love him. His grandmother, a big part of his life. His mother's father, Charlie Hall, lives here in Yoakum. He played for Cleveland for 10 years, and, you know, Charlie knows what it takes to play at a high level, and, you know, I think those kids have been coached up for a long time, that aspect of it, but they've also been coached up on how to act. And like I say, they're a good family. He's a good kid. He's a good high character kid, and Nebraska got him a good one.
Now, I've been in Nebraska almost all of my professional life, and I've seen recruiting grow from 20 years ago to what it is now. And Nebraska's been out of the Big 12 for quite a while. Wasn't that unheard of for Nebraska to go down to Texas and get a good kid? Either the Big 8 days or the Big 12 days. Uh-huh. But Nebraska got a top 35 player in the country out of the state of Texas. That shocks me just because of what the state of Texas is. It's amazing football programs and tremendous colleges that play at a high level. And Nebraska, to their credit, was able to get Joshua. What's your reaction to him heading up north?
Well, you know, I would have liked to have seen him stay closer to home, you know, just because I play at the University of Texas, and I'm a high school coach in the state of Texas, but Nebraska is a great program. You know, I remember when Coach Osborne was coming down here recruiting me 30 years ago, and, you know, Nebraska has been one of those programs forever that, you know, that you'd be proud to be a part of, so... And recruiting has changed so much, you know, with social media, the world is a smaller place than it was 30 years ago, too. And I really don't think it's a big deal that he's going off. There's tons of talent in the state of Texas, you know, and if they all went to the University of Texas and Texas A&M and the schools we have here, there'd be a bunch left over. So, you know, there's plenty of kids to go around, and Joshua's going to do a great job for you guys in Nebraska, and I look forward to seeing him play.
A few minutes here. Bo Robinson, head coach at Yoakum, with us, Hale Varsity Radio. We're talking Joshua Moore and his commitment to Nebraska. Tell me a little bit about when Joshua kind of burst on the scene for you, and just what it's been like for you to coach him and what you've tried to do as far as from a tutoring standpoint to help him get better.
Well, Josh, you know, I took this job 2.5 years ago, and I knew we had a talented group of kids that we've got a really strong class that's going to be seniors next year, and Josh is one of those guys, of course. And I knew after his sophomore year, after I'd seen him play the first year I was here, that, you know, he was a D1 kid. And I don't know that I've had to do anything, you know. I've watched him I've watched him grow up, you know. Like I said, he's got a great support structure at home. And, you know, I tell him what I think, but he's a pretty grounded kid. I mean, if I was not in his life, he'd still be doing good. He's not doing good because of Coach, you know. And honestly, Josh would probably thrive more in some of the other offenses at a different school because, you know, we get in the eye. We're kind of old traditional power football running team here in Yoakum, and we struggled throwing the ball last year. And this tells you what type of kid he is. You know, he probably caught 30 or 40 passes last year. Playing somewhere else, he might have caught 100. Mm-hmm. But he's willing to do what he's got to do for the team to win. And we're hoping that we'll do that next year, and hopefully we'll win the state championship this year before we send him to Nebraska.
Coach Bo Robinson with us. Coach, it's kind of what you hope for with a player of that caliber, kind of team first. It's not always what happens. And that kind of, to me, speaks to your culture and obviously Josh's family structure that you have touched on. Let's talk a little bit about just, I guess, where he's ahead of most kids his age athletically right now at this time. What separates him in your eyes?
Well, I've seen a lot of really good athletes in my lifetime. My dad coached in Texas for 4 years, so I've been around it my entire life. And Josh is pretty special. But the thing that I think sets him apart from other kids his age that maybe have the same kind of ability, he works at it. You know, I think it's a job to him already. You know, he's known this is what he's wanted to do for a long time. And my wife came home 2 nights ago from the track walking late at night, and she said Josh was up there running routes by himself with the radio plugged in. You know, he's just that type of kid. He's going to do what he needs to do to get where he wants to be.
What, a thought or two on Jordan, because you have both the twins there, and Jordan's skill set for Nebraska fans and college football fans, huge college football listening audience that just loves high school, college, whatever it is. And how do they work and feed off of each other, the two brothers?
Well, you know, they're like any two brothers. You know, they're pretty tight, but they'll be the first ones to argue with each other too, you know, if they have a disagreement. But I would say Josh is a little more polished as an athlete. He's a little smoother. I would say that, you know, Jordan, if the game's on the line, he's the guy I want to get the ball to. You know, Jordan is, he loves that moment. And they're both tremendous athletes, and I wouldn't trade for either one of them. But I would say probably Josh would be a little smoother-looking athlete. Jordan more of a, I don't know, he's more of a pit bull type guy. You know, he's not a greyhound. He's a pit bull.
Bo Robinson, head coach of Yoakum, with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, I want to spend a couple more minutes. Tell me about that recruiting visit from Coach Osborne. You've piqued my interest. We just talked with Coach Charlie McBride. He's on with us every Monday. And your defensive end of Texas, and I got to hear the Nebraska pitch.
Well, I just remember him coming down. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of pitch in those days. He showed up to Bremont, Texas, and that's a long way from Lincoln, Nebraska. But I just remember being in awe of him because, you know, my dad played at OU, and I had a cousin that played at OU, and that OU-Nebraska game was always such a big game. It's like, you know, I've seen that guy on TV a lot of times, but I was really impressed with him and just what a class act. And, you know, a guy like him run for president, heck, I'd vote for him. You know, yeah. He's that type of guy.
Coach, what's it been like for you to have this much football in your life? You've just kind of touched on the family, your family background and your father, and also guys from Coach Osborne to the team you played for and with at Texas. And I'm sure if Nebraska and Texas were after you, the rest of the world was too. Just your coaching philosophy. Let's spend a second on you and where you've taken from and kind of how you developed your own culture.
Well, I don't know that what my coaching philosophy is, but, you know, just score more than other guys. But we're pretty old-fashioned. Like I said, my dad was a coach for 40 years in Texas, and he played for Bud Wilkinson at OU and played for a guy named Gordon Wood here in Texas that won over 400 games, was the winningest high school coach in the nation for a long time. I think somebody from somewhere else may have passed him now, but just have always been influenced by coaches. And, you know, athletics is the best at-risk program in public education there is. You know, we have a lot of kids that we can get through school that wouldn't if it wasn't for athletics. So, you know, it's an important part, and that's what we try to do. We try to create toughness and get those kids through there with tough love, and hopefully they'll be productive citizens. And heck, some of them are going to be really good football players, but if not, they're going to be good people, you know.
Yoakum Bulldogs head coach Bo Robinson with his standout athlete Joshua Moore, just a verbal commit to Nebraska over the weekend. Coach Robinson, I'd love to catch up with you again sometime. Best of luck to you, and thanks for giving us a few minutes with Hail Varsity Radio.
Hey, thank you, and good luck to Nebraska this year.
There he is, the coach, and good to hear and catch up with Bo Robinson. Great insight on not just only the Moore family, but Joshua Moore and his brother Jordan Moore, Greyhound and Pitbull. And I don't know about you, but I kind of love hearing Texans talk.
Agreed.
Right? I mean, are Texans pretty awesome with their drawl?
He just sounds like a Friday Night Lights coach in Texas. Yep.
Yeah. There you go. So good stuff. That'll be, if you just caught the tail end of that or a little bit of that, we'll have it for you. HailVarsity.com, the ESPN 1480 app, or iTunes as part of today's podcast here on Hail Varsity Radio. We will work to get Joshua Moore this week, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. We've got a loaded week for you here on Hail Varsity. We ran out of time to talk to McBride about his thoughts on the Athlon 50 for 50. Would have loved to. I mean, he's said 100 times Barry Sanders, the best he's seen or dealt with. Then I remember talking to him the night before Vince Young played USC. He's like, anytime you play a dual threat quarterback, hit your knees and pray. So that's all right. Four pack right now.
Yep.
Caller five for win.
Tuesday's game, VIP.
Tomorrow, little VIP Tuesday action at Haymarket with the Salt Dogs, caller five. Right now, VIP four-pack for tomorrow night's baseball game. Dogs are just crushing the baseball. And the weather's going to be awesome this week. Not hot and muggy and sticky, but sunshine and gorgeous. Caller five, a four-pack VIP Salt Dogs baseball tomorrow, 466-3776-467-800-825-5865. Caller 5 right now with Hail Varsity. Four-pack VIP for Tuesday with the Salt Dogs.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, big thanks to Bo Robinson, head coach at Yoakum High School, Joshua Moore, Jordan Moore's coach. Good thoughts from him. So, College World Series, we're going to catch up with Mitch Sherman, crossing fingers, tomorrow at our regular time. We'll get it all sorted out. But so we're down in Grand Island or out west in Grand Island for baseball. Junior's team did well, 3-1. They played well most of the weekend. State baseball is this weekend in Beatrice, so got some optimism heading that way. And it's funny, we're waiting between games, and the group of parents we've got, they're just awesome people. Love them all. And they pour something cold into my drink and my cup, and we're just sitting there shooting the breeze. And for years, I've been working on my wife to start gambling or okay gambling. And all it took was peer pressure. That's some of the other baseball moms and dads kind of looking and said, hey, College World Series is starting, because the Saturday game, the A&M game, was starting at 1. We were done, and we didn't play till 2, where we were waiting on someone to lose or whatever it was to figure out if we played at 7. And the light went on, got to the ringleader, said, baseball pool, done. And so we drew names. I think it was $5 a team, $40 pool, Skittles. We're not incriminating the baseball team. That'd be a little rough for state baseball. There's a roadblock set up as you enter into Beatrice by the state patrol for illegal gambling.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool because we were short, so we all said, come on. come on, join the pool. Mm-hmm. She did it. She finally caved. She has finally bet on baseball.
Peer pressure.
It was great, though, because she stayed awake Saturday night to watch LSU.
Oh, there you go.
Because she, you know, she LSU and Louisville are the two favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of all teams for her to freaking draw, she doesn't know if LSU's mascot's a tiger or a balloon, okay? But she gets LSU.
She lucked out.
She lucked out massively. And I have Florida, and they looked pretty good the other night, too.
So I went to my first ever CWS this past Saturday.
Did you? Wasn't it fun?
Yeah. I've always kind of thought it was just like an Omaha thing. And like if you're in Omaha, that's what you do. You go to that thing. But we tried to go as a kid, but I remember it was sold out, so we got turned away.
Yeah, no luck.
Yeah. But this time I wasn't going for the game. I was just going for the tents at the old Magic Factory. Mm-hmm. Man, that was a blast. Like,
yeah.
I've been missing out. That was fun.
No, it was good. My brother and his kids went. I don't know if they went, but they went to the village. So there's video of them on Facebook playing, doing the wiffle ball home run thing.
Oh, nice.
And my brother's kids are just really gifted little athletes. They can hit the ball. And they were just, I mean, they're swinging and crushing it. And my brother used to play baseball at Doan, so he mm-hmm. was going glory days. Because he had a little stick. I mean, he could swing the bat.
Yeah.
He had a few home runs in his day. He had good power.
And I guess LSU is kind of like Team Omaha. Like, everybody loves them.
Everybody loves LSU because they go every year. It
Even
seems
if their
like.
Team's not there, that's what I heard.
Yeah, they just love it. And they'll do the whole, they'll bring the old RV, Clark, and the jambalaya up, and they'll cook.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go tailgate and have a blast. Years ago, my buddy Nate, dear friend in college, this isn't Uncle Nate, although he could be. But him and his, I mean, he's an engineer. He's brilliant. But they're all making really good money.
Mm-hmm.
So back when it was at Rosenplatt, they parked up, you know, like you do a fly route and then you cut outside of the sideline. It's the best way I can explain it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an RV set up. It was great. It's like 10 years ago. So 10 years ago, we did a couple of years in a row where we covered the CWS. So we'd have media passes and all that and great parking.
Yeah.
But between games, could go kick it with him and his cooler and just enjoy because he had an RV set up. Now it's much different where it's, I've not been to TD.
I haven't either.
In the CWS
but walking
game.
By it, man, it was nice.
Yeah, I think, I got to get up there next week at some point.
Yeah, it was funny. I wore an old school KG jersey. Because I saw a lot of people who were my friends earlier in the day to Snapchat wearing old school jerseys, like an old school Ken Griffey jersey. Mm. And I probably had about over 100 dudes dap me up and say how sick my jersey was. So, you know, people love themselves some old school
KG.
Well,
I mean, sun's out, guns out.
Yeah, that's right. That's what my brother said. I would have preferred if it was 100 different women who came up to me, but, you know, that's
TJ,
all right.
TJ, I can help you with that. And it's not, I don't want you to feel sick or.
No,
awkward.
Man, I'm good. I just, a lot of dudes love the jersey that
That's
night.
Fine, but it's not the ladies.
I know.
I can help you with the ladies.
It's
more
right,
of
man.
The, well, TJ is really not that bad. I mean, I'm the repulsive one. Again.
That's how we'd play it?
That's how we'd play
All
it.
Right.
I'd weed them towards you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
But you know what? I mean, we talked to Stacy a few weeks back, too, and.
Oh, yeah, the Blur parties.
Yeah, Blur is what you hit up. I mean, I think that is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So, good enough. And you got a really good baseball game tonight with Oregon State in action.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a miracle finish for them. I don't know if A&M will survive tomorrow, but it's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a video of Logan Foster talking about his coach from Southwest that passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very moved and touched by that. So a lot of different storylines. And if you're headed up to Omaha, enjoy it. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, my roommate, when he used to work for 1011, did a real nice piece on that Southwest coach. And he still is in contact with Logan, I believe, Foster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they still talk a lot. So
yeah, no, and that's good. So Good enough. We will keep you updated if there's any more new recruiting news as far as commitments or decommitments or who's visiting on Friday. And as always, you're encouraged to check out HaleVarsity.com and a 30-day free trial offer when you sign up now. HaleVarsity.com/subscribe. Again, the ultimate online fan experience. Great message board conversations. And listen, if you kind of roll your eyes at message boards, I was that guy too. But
instead now you're typing away.
Well, I'm typing away because I can talk with Mike Babcock. I can talk with Aaron Babcock. I can talk with Brandon Vogel. I can talk with Jacob Padilla. Mm-hmm. I can talk with, God, tons of Nebraska fans. It's all right. It's not double secret gossip and scariness. It's mature, normal Husker football conversations mm-hmm. and recruiting stuff. So it's pretty cool. Also, great recruiting analysis will be on there. And yes, the inside info. I mean, some of our guys know a ton of inside info. So you're excited about that, and you'll love all the info from Friday Night Lights and Big Red Weekend with Jay Moore. He'll be there getting the coverage. HaleVarsity.com/subscribe. We'll wind down a Monday next. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com. We continue on presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Aging.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
One final time on a Monday. Great stuff from Charlie McBride. We talked about in-state versus out-of-state recruiting decisions. And the camp circuit, as in all the kids that would come to see them at camp. Jay Moore on Big Red Weekend and Friday Night Lights, his reaction to the kids he saw and kind of graded out. And then we caught up with Coach Bo Robinson of Yoakum, Texas, and his thoughts on his prospect and talent, Joshua Moore and Jordan Moore. So that was a lot of fun. And at one time, Bo Robinson recruited by Coach Osborne. So if you missed any part of that, you can log on. The podcast will be ready for you in a little while. HaleVarsity.com, the ESPN 1480 app, or iTunes. So you can subscribe to that. Don't cost nothing. Tomorrow, a return of Rick Pizzo. Pizzo's back from vacation. So Rick Pizzo will be with us, Big Ten Buffet, Mitch Sherman. I have yet to text Mike Babcock, but I hope Mike Babcock will be with us. And then Brad Edwards is going to be with us on Thursday, and maybe a Searles sighting.
All right.
On Thursday.
I was wondering for Coach
Phil Steele on Wednesday.
Phil Steele. There you go. With Bo Robinson, you know, I know he went to Texas, but I just, how tough it would be to say no to T.O.
Well, I think it was probably easier to stay home.
I think so, too.
And based on how, this is being complete elitist, how the programs were doing in 30 years ago, it's probably harder to get some playing time in Nebraska.
That's true.
Not that Coach Bo couldn't have done it.
But the better program at the time was Nebraska.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, I mean, he had a ton of OU history.
Yeah, and his was interesting here,
and
too.
And his dad was a, high school coach for 40 years.
Yeah, he just sounds like a football lifer, which he is. So
that's awesome. But you kind of get that, too. I mean, that's in your blood. Yeah, that's your family.
Yep.
What'd you do for dad yesterday?
Had dad, grandpa out. And
Did you guys go anywhere fun?
No, we brought food in.
Oh, did you? Good.
Yep. So we didn't want them cooking, me and my mom. So me and my mom got the food for them. And, yeah, they just sat easy, watched some Royals, watched some U.S. Open. Pretty
did
chill,
you?
But it was good.
Good, man. That's so good.
Yep.
No, I'm happy for you. That's a lot of fun. Grandpa's a good dude. And
yeah. How about you?
What did we do? Oh, it was a 7:30 wake-up call to get to Grand Island. We didn't stay the night. Carson did. He was out on a farm with farm animals. Feel bad for those animals. You know, the kid's the only guy out in a rural setting not wearing jeans.
Hmm. That would have been me too as a kid.
I get it, but the bug bite thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a mosquito seven times the size of his front teeth. It's frightening. Okay. So, yeah, we nothing, man. I mean, I got the best food coma ever. I had the biggest and best prime rib I've ever had in my life.
Nice.
Saturday. It was good. And then Sunday, yeah, we just were on Grand Island and came back and got back in the later afternoon. Jumped in the pool for a little bit. It was good. I had egg whites for dinner. Thanks, Aaron, the bunny. Wonderful Father's Day dinner. Well, that was nothing I got. Tomorrow at 4, we'll be here. Hail Varsity, thank you.